gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Selvin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man.
And guys, we have a crazy packed show for you tonight.
Oh,
there's stuff
hell
going
yeah.
on. But there's something I wanted to talk to you guys about first,
Uh-oh.
Justin
oh,
and Pete.
Good, let's do this on stage.
My friends, is this okay? Weird. Can we really hash this out?
Yeah, yep. yeah. Yep.
Now, I wanted to mention, you guys have been pretty rough on me in the past about some stuff.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that.
What is about to go down?
Okay, here's all I'm saying. Is, you know, we get a question. We get a lot of questions on the show, very, you know, similar questions, things that recur. One of the biggest questions we get is, if you could have a superpower, what superpower would you want to have?
Right.
And
right.
What do I always say? What superpower?
You want to be a
Cypher's powers.
Yeah, I want Cypher's powers with language powers,
I know
right?
know where this
right.
is going.
Yeah, all right, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
I won't.
Okay, the Cypher's powers, right?
Who he can,
yeah, and
he
you
can speak all languages.
Speak all languages, and you're always like, what do you always say?
I always say, you're dumb. Over and over again.
I want to read a quote.
I want to read a quote from somebody what? Just from earlier this week.
Hold on.
Yeah, whenever you're ready, Alex.
Yeah, I'll take my time.
Yeah, please.
This sounds, it's kind of weird, kind of a weird superpower, but if I could have something that I could immediately wish for, I would love to be able to speak any language. Now, that's a weird superpower, I know, but it might not come in handy rescuing folks from burning buildings, but I've always wished that whatever country I went to, wherever I met somebody who spoke a different language, that right away I could speak their language. I'm a great believer in making connections with people.
Huh.
Barack Obama.
I'll say this to both of you. You're both dumb.
Thank you, Pete.
I'll fly all day around.
Obama 2012. All right, guys, we have a big, exciting show for you. Two of our guests tonight. One is the sommelier at Tribeca Grill. The other is the owner of Iconic Wine. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Morgan and Burke O'Halloran.
Yeah.
Guys, we're very excited to have you here. First thing I want to ask, well, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a problem. Do you have a problem that we're drinking beers? No? You're cool with it?
These are our palate cleansers.
Yep.
That counts.
So let's...
You can notice we also brought beer.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. So you're not a drink discriminator.
What?
No, I don't know.
You get into this business by just being really boozy all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's sweet. Why you get into alcohol purveyance.
Actually, that's the number one answer I give. Like, people are always like, how do you get started in wine? And I was like, drink a lot. Like,
yeah.
Well, how did you actually get started in wine? How did you end up creating your own wine?
Oh, that's a long story.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. You won a bunch of grapes in a radio show contest.
Yeah, that would be awesome. No. I mean, short said, I always worked in hotel and restaurants, like getting started. And then basically got tired of closing the restaurant at 3 in the morning. And decided drinking was the best part of the whole business. So
correct.
Then I got into wine and started running wine programs. And then I basically got drunk at a wedding. Was how this got started.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I do that all the time, and I have started almost no businesses.
But on the upside, this was at a really expensive winery in Napa. And
you went to a high-class wedding.
You got to go to the right weddings.
Cool.
You know?
I went to a wedding in Syracuse, New York.
Yeah. Businesses start that way, too, but it's a very different business.
Yeah, true.
So you're at a wedding.
The main
drunk.
Product of Syracuse is bar fights.
And a guy named Steve Mathiasen, who I think is like the Michael Jordan of grape growers, basically offered me some Chardonnay grapes. And I was that's awesome, but I would ruin them. And I had another dear friend who's a winemaker where actually now I make my wines. And he felt like he owed me a favor, and he offered to kind of mentor me and get me started. So that was 2010, and we're 2 years... Two vintages in, and
it's
going
awesome.
Pretty well.
Now, there's, for those people who are listening at home, you probably don't know this. Those of you in the audience, you can see this pretty clearly, but there's a very specific reason we had you on the show, beyond the fact that, hey, winemaking is cool. What makes your wine, other than winemaking is cool?
It's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Hey,
and that's
let's
the only
have a
reason
wine guy on.
The end. Your wine's pretty nerdy. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I grew up a giant comic book nerd, and
yeah.
I tell people that, you know, growing up, like, all these people were my heroes, and like a lot of these artists were my heroes. And at some point, my adult heroes became winemakers, and it just seemed like this natural progression. So we reach out to comic book artists to design and draw the labels and put everything out. Since I couldn't become a comic book artist, I became a winemaker and just made comic book artists hang out with me.
But, classic. That's what Todd McFarlane did.
I found their weakness. It turns out all.
Wow.
So we did the very first release was Heroin, which Tom Feister did the original character design.
With an E.
Yep.
So you sold Heroin.
Actually, my favorite, one of my favorite moments of this entire project was being here in New York and talking to my shipper and being like, oh, great, so the 50 cases of heroin will be here tomorrow? And then turning around and seeing like six people just staring at me. But and then we came out with these wines this year, the first one being Secret Identity, and then the other one that you guys will be the first people in New York to taste tonight.
Holy shit.
Woo! Secret Ingredient. So, and Cliff Chang, who does all the Wonder Woman stuff, is doing the art.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And these, again, this is mostly for the people who are listening at home, but these bottles are really cool. I didn't even notice this at first, but you have glasses, Secret Identity glasses, on the corks.
Yeah, no, totally. It's my homage, obviously, to, what is it, Clark?
People with poor eyesight.
Yeah, exactly. The original label was actually corkscrews, and Ming Doyle, who's doing the new label for Heroin, deserves a lot of credit for this, because we were going to do Secret Identity, and the original concept was we were just going to do glasses on the label. And I think you guys just talked about this on one of your last shows. They're like, she's like, oh, I was just did this whole Asian combined comic thing called Secret Identity, and the cover was just glasses.
Yeah.
Can't you do something better? And we're like, so she deserves credit, because I think it did turn out a lot better. But
how do you end up selling this idea to comic book artists? How do you approach them? Is there any, what, you want me to draw a wine bottle or for you?
To be honest, it's pretty funny. I mostly just wander around Comic-Con, and I'm like,
I have an ideal life, my friend.
I have a lot more booze than I have money. Would you be willing to work for booze?
What a trade.
So, and it's been cool. It's actually the reception to it has been really awesome. Like Cliff was amazing. So was Ming. I think we've been in talks with Jim Mahfood, who's doing Tank Girl. I'd love to, I'm not trying to invent a wine that would be cool enough to do for his art, but we'll see.
Whoa.
So do you do it that way? You work at it backwards, where you get the artist first and then come up with the wine, or is it matching?
You know, I wish I could say
wine?
We had a
it's called
really
pairing, Alex.
Strong
pairing. Oh, okay.
Pairing.
Thank you.
I can take over here.
But actually, to give Steve a little credit, what's been really cool and what I was not prepared for was how many comic book nerds are in the wine business.
Interesting.
Really? Fun fact.
If you guys know Union Square Wines here, which is a great wine store.
Huge wine store.
Jesse, who runs that, is awesome and a huge, huge collector of comic art. And then Steve here, who runs Tribeca Grill, which I think is one of the most badass wine lists around in New York, used to intern at Marvel. So.
Holy
yeah, that's
shit.
How you ended up on this show. So how do you go from being an intern at Marvel to being the sommelier?
Yeah, being the top of the top.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing now.
Yeah, talk about the intern thing. Skip the whole sommelier.
Yeah, talk about how you fell from grace as a Marvel intern and went to the Tribeca Grill.
Were you too drunk at the...
I moved here from Chicago to get an internship. Chicago's a very small restaurant scene, so there's not lots of opportunities for people who are wine-centric. And when I moved here, I'd worked in Italy. I'd done a couple different things. It was all very wine-centered, but it was just working in restaurants. And my resume read like a sommelier, and I ran with it and ended up working.
So you lied?
Doctor that resume a little bit.
There was no lying involved.
Okay.
But wow, very political answer.
But at the same time, there's a lot of people in this industry who are not traditionally trained, so it's very much built around what you study, what you do. It's getting into these things. It's like trying to make comics a long time ago. You could be passionate about wanting to make comics. Now you have to be a professional, successful writer, and then therefore you get into it.
And then you sneak into comics.
Yeah. Actually, can I out you?
Oh, no.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Steve actually took his exam today to actually be a certified sommelier.
Hey!
Nice. That's a hard test.
Don't tell Tribeca Grill.
Yeah. They don't listen to this podcast, right? Yeah.
So,
they might now, though. But...
They play it at the restaurant, right? If I remember.
The only thing.
People
between
love it.
Frank
it's
Sinatra and Tony Bennett? Yes. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
Now, can you pair some wine varietals with different comic book heroes?
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah. See, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So, like, what would you drink with a Punisher comic?
It's got to be red. It's got to be a red.
I think you're right, Pete. Let's see.
I would drink, Aussie Shiraz or Turley's Zinfandel. Wow. We have another comic. I would drink something that had big. Absolutely no sense of humor.
Right. Oh, nice. And you said an Australian Shiraz, big balls on it. Just like the Punisher.
What?
Lots of alcohol. Just probably like the Punisher.
Doesn't like picnics.
No.
Yeah. Not a picnic line.
No.
Just like the Punisher.
What about anything around it.
Yeah.
What about, this is a little more complicated. What about like Justice League? Has a lot of characters in it, a lot of different personalities.
That's tough. It's like a
How would you pair
meal.
Something with that?
That's like a fruit punch of one.
Yeah, no.
It's very different.
Sangria.
Okay, no, this is Viognier. It's Condru. It's a bunch of different fruit flavors all over the place. Kind of... okay, most of the time.
You're kind of all right with it. Great. You can drink it once in a while when you're in the mood.
You feel kind of bad for liking it, but when it's good, it's great.
Oh, my God.
When Grant Morrison does it, that's good.
And
it's done anywhere else, it's kind of mediocre.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
There we go. Okay, and last one. You worked in the X office when you were at Marvel. So what about Wolverine? Wolverine wine.
Whatever it is, it's gross.
It's just beer.
No, actually, Wolverine would be something like Pinot Noir that everyone tries to redo and redo and redo.
Nice.
And then it's mostly
very complex.
Right. He's the Pinot Grigio of superheroes.
Yeah, used to be human, and now it's indestructible.
it's indestructible.
It's still the number one selling.
Exactly, still the number one seller.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Oh, sorry.
I could do this all night.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on. Let's do the tasting of the wine.
All right, let's not do that all night. Yeah. Let's taste the wine.
Yeah. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Do we have...
We got to get the cups.
Oh, now it's time to panic. We don't know. We've never done this before.
Yeah.
So you just break open the neck and just pass it around? Or how
you hit
it
on the ship.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen the video on YouTube of the guy that opens the wine bottle with a shoe in a tree? You, like, slam it?
Yeah, yeah.
The iPad one? The savoring with an iPad?
Yeah, can you...
I love it. Have you savored a bottle of champagne before? Yeah?
Did you break
a couple on your attempts?
No, it's all about being like, it's very easy to do. You just have to kind of just go for it.
Yeah.
You can actually do it with a butter knife.
Take one.
Yeah, I've worked in restaurants for many years.
With sabers?
No, but we would do that. Because the owner of the last restaurant I worked at a few years ago, French guy, this is our... Wine tasting music. Apparently, I thought there was someone's cell phone going off. He loved to get drunk and saber bottles of champagne.
Good owner to have.
Yeah, no.
Can we always have this music on when we talk about big burly guys hitting other big burly guys?
Yeah,
I think it adds like some class.
It's actually a little more appropriate, I think. So let's talk about the wine as it's being passed out here, and you guys are getting hopefully set up as well. But those of you listening at home, what's the idea with this wine? What were you thinking going into it?
So this is really nerdy wine, I guess.
Okay, so far so good.
it's basically French grapes made in an Italian way from Russian River and Sonoma.
Oh,
I'm a fan of crossing genres,
and they're extinct,
pretty much. So there's a story behind. So
you retconned the California grapes, and then rebooted them in Italian casks.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, shit, I love this.
So this is.
It's a real talent.
The grape you guys are going to taste it's a grape called Truchot Gris, which is, there's only 10 acres of it planted in California. There's really only one vineyard. And it's this dude named Peter Finucchi, who's awesome and totally batshit crazy. And, like, left 10 acres. Anyone else would, like, if you wanted to make money, you would, like, graft this over and make Chardonnay or Pinot Noir or something that you could actually, like, pay your rent on. Like, but instead he chose to grow this grape that he loved. And so the whole secret kind of play on words on this is... You guys have heard of Riesling? It's a pretty famous
grape,
right? So for a long time throughout the 70s, they thought it was actually Grey Riesling. And then they did some genetic testing when they got better at it and realized that it was actually this grape Truchot Gris, and it had nothing to do with Riesling. And they were like, oh, you can't call it Riesling anymore. Like,
so they did like a baby daddy test on the wine?
Yeah, totally.
They realized it was a Skrull.
You know, like the Human Genome Project? Like, there's been a grape genome project been going on for quite a while.
Much more popular.
So that's its secret identity, right? So we released that. We did it all in stainless steel. This wine, we did a very small batch in oak. And the original plan was actually to blend them together. And then we did, and it tasted not... The sum was not as good as the parts, so we decided to make them separate and let people kind of figure it out.
Oh.
So we made a small batch of secret ingredient, which is what we're releasing next month. So that's what you guys get to try.
Oh, man.
Great.
And for Steve, in New York. For you, as a sommelier, you're going to pair this with food. What would you pair it with?
In this beautiful venue, I would...
Yes.
This is actually brilliant for bar food.
Nice.
Oh, perfect.
I want nachos. I want fried chicken. I want things that are sweet and salty and hot. And I think it would be fantastic with those.
Cool. All right. Does everybody have one, or mostly have one?
We're going to pour it at Fontana's from
now. We don't all have to do it at the same time. I mean, just try it.
We're all going to do it as a shooter. Are you ready?
But this isn't a suicide pact, so you can just do it.
Justin, shut up.
Everyone just have some.
Everybody drink the Kool-Aid.
All
right, there we go. This is a good audio experience.
Yeah, no.
I'm smelling it first.
I finished mine 45 guys, minutes ago.
Can you guys, gulp really loudly so the podcast catches it?
Refreshing.
Well, you're supposed to slurp, right? To get all the flavors. You have to do that,
Yeah, we also have a guy doing thunder on the side as a sound effect.
I like that.
Yeah. This is great. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, good. That was your professional
show.
No, it's nice. It's got some really good acid on it, but it's not too at all like cat piss. And can we talk about that? That's a wine tasting term, not it's, a...
Yeah, what should we be tasting here? What?
It's very
what
light and refreshing. I don't know how to word things, but like...
that's the right answer. It's light and refreshing. There's like light berry fruit, but... It's not sweet at all. There's great acidity. It's really well made, and it's perfect for 105 degree days in New York summer.
Hell yeah.
Now, talking to us, is this like if we had a bunch of guys on the show, we were showing an X-Men comic, they're like, is Batman in this?
You're saying
this
we're
is
idiots.
Like yeah, are we this idiots? Is like you guys sitting around talking about Psylocke in front of a group of dudes.
Yeah.
That's what that's what Rose is.
We
like.
Truly met in the middle on that.
Great. Well, where can people pick up this wine? When is it going to be available?
Good question.
This is the one that already is available, right?
Nope.
This was the secret.
This is the first time.
This is a secret ingredient. Oh, and we didn't taste the secret identity yet.
No, we will.
We will.
Mango.
No, nice.
Sometime in September, maybe?
Yeah, so we're going to release it in September, along with the new vintage of Heroin, which will be 2011.
I can't stop drinking it. It's so good.
It's addictive. For now, we have, to give you an idea, our total production, I rent space in a winery. Unfortunately, we didn't win the lottery and went out and bought a $1 million winery.
Keep playing. You never know.
So, yeah, I know, right?
Don't give up, man.
I'm waiting for my comic book deal.
Long way in.
Yeah. But anyways, so give you an idea, we do 450 cases a year. A small winery in Napa, California is about 3,000 cases.
Oh.
So we're on the micro, they're kind of like what they call a garagiste, which is a cool fancy term for they make this shit in a garage.
Garagiste.
So for the most part, it's a few little shops. Union Square has been an awesome supporter of the wines. Frankly Wines down in Tribeca Grill and Vestria as well down in Tribeca area have been cool actual retail shops. Otherwise, you can buy it online. We ship it out from California. So.
Awesome. Woo. All right. Very cool. So you guys check that out. And I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
Now, we get The Stack where you talk about some comic books that came out this week.
Just real quick, it's iconicwine.com. Is that the website people can get the wine at?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
All right.
Nice.
Plugs
great.
Why don't you plug the comic book that you particularly like this week?
Plug it.
Deadpool number 59.
Everyone is much more excited to talk about Daredevil.
Well, maybe. But this is a hilarious comic, and Daniel Way is kind of wrapping up his run on it, which I think is one of the best runs on Deadpool. He is hilarious. He does such a great job of writing the character. It's both funny and action-packed. And it's unbelievable. And in this issue, I laughed out loud a bunch of times, especially where he Spoiler, but he leaves this giant fight to go make a burrito. And it's just like there's all these people outside fighting and all these cops looking at it. And he's sitting literally just watching the microwave countdown. He's like, come on, burrito. It's hilarious. Yeah, and then a hilarious last page as well. Just fantastic stuff. It's absolutely amazing, and I'm sad that it's going to be ending.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
I love burritos in comics, you guys.
Do you guys read Deadpool, or you check out Deadpool at all?
I read about 20 issues when I was at Marvel, because it was right in the sort of high point of, when it became really popular.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not a big Deadpool fan.
Yeah. Nice.
No, that's all right. You guys want to fight?
Yeah.
I do.
So, you know, my business partner is... been known to drunkenly leave parties all the time for tacos, which is, I feel, the other Deadpool like
nice.
Category.
Yeah.
So like have you seen this picture of like Deadpool riding a Pegasus that says tacos?
Is
like
yeah, the t-shirt.
It's like my already planned birthday gift to him. Like,
nice.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to the show. So
you're gonna get him a Pegasus.
Yeah.
Good friend
and tacos.
That's tough. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on.
Wait, what are your thoughts on this amazing comic?
Stop!
Oh, no, it's good.
Please, let's open another bottle. Where are we? What are we doing? Cool. Great stuff.
No, it's fine.
Deadpool.
I got to be honest. I like Daniel Way's run a lot. It's a good comic, very funny. When you said the stuff, I definitely remembered it, but it kind of went out of my mind pretty quickly.
You're an asshole.
But
it's like a candy bar of a comic. It's like a very quick snack that you should have. Maybe I should have.
You've
eaten
never had
healthy.
A candy bar before.
No. You just throw them in your mouth, right?
Yep, like go right down your throat.
Yeah. I don't eat candy.
Apparently
cool,
not.
Let's talk about your pick, which was Saga number 6. I'll pass that over to you guys. Justin, what do you like about this?
Great comic. If you're not reading this, I feel like many people are, but it's by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples on the art. Art is really... Brian K. Vaughan, great writer, and it is great... But the art is just so amazing.
She's killing it.
It's sick.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. On Brian K. Vaughan's behalf, like he takes these sort of a lot of fantasy and sci-fi tropes. It's a couple that just had a baby and they're escaping. There's a war going on. There's a man with a TV for a face chasing them, which is a nightmare I'm sure we've all had. But he finds a way to put a spin on it, something really new. Like, they've been hunting for the rocket ship forest, and you expect it to be like, oh, a place where just rocket ships are parked. But no, it's a forest that grows rocket ships, and each idea has one great tweak to it that is very new that I haven't heard before, and it's just fantastic.
Now you're reading it?
I love pretty much everything that he's done. And this is something, it's refreshing, it's funny, and it's still dark at the same time. He has everything kind of going for it. It's multi-layered. It's great. Yeah. There's not many people who do anything like that. So.
You know, it reminds me of like Joss Whedon's writing on like Firefly, Serenity. It's like really the conversations are really real and fun and funny, and still a lot of sci-fi and fantasy.
Yeah, the other thing I like about it, I think I talked about this the last time we were talking about this book, but every single issue starts with an amazing splash page and ends with an amazing splash page.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The end of the last issue was unbelievable.
It's fantastic, and they've kept it up for 6 issues. If you have no interest in comic books, but you have any sort of interest in fantasy or sci-fi or anything like this, this is a perfect comic to pick up. Definitely pick it up. Next thing we'll talk about, Daredevil number 17 from Marvel Comics. Now, this was an issue that I was really, really looking forward to because Mark Waid is writing it. Every single issue of Daredevil so far has been fantastic. And this issue, Mike Allred, who is one of the best artists ever, is doing the art on here. Perfect fit. They did not disappoint. This issue was just a great issue. The thing that I loved about it was that it fit in perfectly with everything that was going on. It had a flashback to something that happened in the past and the relationship between Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson. Ties into a really emotional point with Matt Murdock's dad. But at the same time, just felt like, oh, here's another issue of Daredevil that's really good, rather than here's a special issue or trying to raise it on a pedestal in some way.
Yeah, you don't want to put it on a pedestal?
Yeah.
I would like to put it on a pedestal. It's
pretty good.
Yeah.
Really... What the fuck's on your pedestal? You have room for a Daredevil comic.
Yeah, what's so good that you can't
put it on your pedestal? What is on your pedestal?
Deadpool.
Yeah. I got choked up. This was a really touching issue. Mark Waid is really knocking it out of the park, and I love this whole playing back this relationship with Foggy and Daredevil. It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
And how Daredevil has been abusing him for years, but nobody cares.
Oh, my God.
All right. Here, you're really too connected with Foggy Nelson as a character, man. You got to loosen up.
Yeah, do you guys know who Foggy Nelson is?
Yeah.
Couple people. Their heads.
He's like a lawyer who's a friend of Daredevil. So that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, he's really fat, and he's complaining all the time.
Dude, what does his weight have to do with anything?
They talk about it all the time.
I'm just saying, it's, you know,
in
why
this
is that,
book, Daredevil,
that doesn't define
about,
who he is as
no,
a person.
No, I know. I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Well,
he often wears ties. You don't like that? He's not a person. It's not like he's going to listen to this podcast and be like, what the fuck's that guy saying I'm fat for? He's ink and paper and words that are
don't
written on a page.
Don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that to Pete.
He's real.
Pete, a little news to you. You're not real either. I wrote you. And you came
that
to life.
My worst.
You're like my Ruby Sparks.
Why is your head turning into a television?
Wow. Anybody get that reference? It's a current movie. Good, good. Go watch indie movies is all I'm saying. Except for The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Stinker.
You have...
What just happened? What? Did you just go off on a rant?
How much
is
your
one-man
you
show?
What's
I
happening?
Have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah?
What are you right. doing? Clear off your pedestal and go to see a movie, Alex.
I got stuff to do.
What? Have a baby?
Yeah.
I mean, she's not a baby anymore.
Yeah, she's not really a baby anymore.
Cool.
She's
Justin, did you see Spider-Man?
No, I haven't seen Spider-Man.
Yeah, but bullshit. You've seen like these indies, even though you do a comic book talk show.
I read Spider-Man 3 times a month. I fucking live with the guy practically. I don't need to see a retelling of his movie again.
But the lizard.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on with the last comic we're going to talk about today. This comic coming out this week. Before Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan, number one.
Nobody clap. No,
you know, we've been reviewing. We get slight advances of all these comics, so we get to read
big
them a little
shots,
bit before.
Cool.
No. I'm just saying, but no one likes it. We keep doing it, but no, everyone hates it.
Yeah.
And Pete has been in protest for the past two weeks about the Before
Occupy
Watchmen project.
Before
Do you guys
Watchmen.
Know about Before Watchmen? Have you heard about this?
I've read a few, but
yeah. What is your thought on them?
He's shaking his head.
Good.
For those listening at home, he is shaking his head.
He's shaking his head.
Nothing good to say.
Don't put me in this position.
I got very excited about Rorschach, comedian, everything. Yeah, but nothing yet.
What would you pair with these Before Watchmen comics? A big pile of shit?
A big bottle of liquor, yes.
Just that's not fair, though.
Cheap rail vodka. No, I have.
Yeah, you,
I was just
have.
I was just joking, you know?
Oh.
Just joshing around with my joke. Guys, with what my pals.
What did you think about Dr. Manhattan?
What's in this wine? I'm freaking out right now.
No, mine was 42 below vodka, like it says on the glasses. This one, I have liked a lot of the other ones. This one I felt like was really derivative of Watchmen. I know that's sort of a weird thing to say since they all are.
Is.
But this one specifically, it was like Doc Manhattan being like, what is time? Where did I come from?
What's a box?
Wait, you read it?
Nope.
Yes, you did. You just said.
No,
you said a quote from the book.
I was just finishing your sentence. I don't know what he was saying.
You just happened to finish my sentence with an actual plot point from
the book. With where's the box?
I don't know what's in this wine, but it's crazy.
Pete, you're drunk.
Fine. When Pete's drunk, he becomes slightly German.
And psychic.
So this one, not a lot going on. I feel like the last couple pages sort of maybe pointed to something a little more interesting, but otherwise very derivative.
Yeah, I agree with you for the most part. I did like the idea here. It's showing Dr. Manhattan, he's a character who lives his timeline all at once, so it's showing... That's very difficult to show in any sort of medium. I don't know how you do that other than having, like, a bunch of squares on a movie screen and everything's going at it once or something like that.
Whoa.
Check out Dr. Manhattan, the movie, coming to movie theaters from B.
Great indie movie.
Yeah, it's real cool. You should check it out.
I love indie movies.
Yes. The end of this issue, like you said, there's a really nice twist in the last couple of pages that makes me far more curious for the second issue of this than the first. The art's very good, though. As usual, Adam Hughes, great artist.
Great artist.
Draws good penises.
Wow, you just said that.
What?
What did he say? I didn't hear him quite right.
No, don't
I'll just listen to do it on the podcast.
Yeah, you listen back.
But anyway, great penises in this book.
Cool. Would you say pick up? That's it for the stack. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Booth Mayan.
Booth Mayan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Boothers.
I hope you guys aren't too drunk to answer these.
We are.
Shut up.
We had one sip of wine.
You're my best friend.
More.
All right. So the first question was sort of answered, but this is a bit more general. What wine or other alcoholic beverage do you recommend drinking while reading your favorite comic book?
Interesting.
Ooh. All right.
Nice.
Well, what's your favorite comic book, Steve?
Well, not to give away what's going to happen next, but Unwritten and Fables are probably my favorite comic.
Nice. Great comics.
So what wine goes with that?
We're really putting you on the spot here.
We have a list of 300 comic books.
Okay.
Right down,
yeah.
And you just pair wines with
okay.
them.
Okay. I've got time. no, I would say if with comics in my line of work, if I get off of work, I'm drinking crisp, clean, easy drinking whites because I've been drinking heavy reds all night. So,
yeah.
So something like a Chenin Blanc, something like a Trousseau Gris Rosé would be nice.
Oh, very nice. Topical.
Very
nice.
Rick, what about you?
So in preparation to coming onto this, I actually started reading Drops of God.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, I have never bought a manga. The whole backwards thing, why do they do that?
Well, it's their whole culture reads that way, and they have from all through
it's
all of time.
So, like, yeah,
really?
Well, go back to ancient.
To get used.
Sorry that millions of people are different.
Go back to ancient Japan and
no,
just
I mean, I just
slap
mean, if you're going to take the time to translate it into English, couldn't you just reverse it
no,
at the same time?
No, you can't, actually.
You can't. Like, you can't.
Why?
Now you pissed off.
I can show you how to do it on Photoshop.
No, you actually can't, because you'd have to. They've shown that also the way that it's drawn, it indicates things in different ways. So you could flip the pages, but you also have to flip the drawings. Then people are facing the wrong way, and it looks wrong.
All right.
This is how I put Pete to sleep.
I was getting into
anyways, to wrap it all up. Like, that said, like, the comic is a wine nerd is pretty awesome, and it actually, like,
the illustrations are amazing.
It actually has inspired me. Like, yeah, normally all summer I just drink, like,
well, Drops of God. We've been talking about this. I've been mentioning this on the show for like 5 years, I think, and it finally got published here. For those of you who don't know about it, basically, it is a wine manga. It was so popular. Was it South Korea or North Korea?
Well, it originated in Japan, but it's I think South Korea is where like now that's where it's really taken hold.
Completely, but, like, all the copies sold out, and as soon as a new volume of Drops of God come out, whatever wine they mention in
sold
there,
out completely.
Immediately sold out.
It's actually the number one like wine critic now. Like,
well,
like they have like wine shops. They actually have started releasing the wines that are going to be in the next issues to wine stores so they can stock it.
And I heard also that Sideways ruined Merlot.
Wow.
Merlot sales.
It's a real topical, right?
That very topical. How old is that
That's
movie?
Right. When I inject things about 1980s X-Men and it seems relevant, like it'll be great.
No, it's good.
I'll get you back.
Again, we're meeting in the middle here.
Is there any way there could be something like that here in America where you could have a comic book or a graphic novel that would be that influential to food or wine nerds?
I don't know if it's that much pop culture. Like, I mean, it's not that. I don't know. Like,
comics
I would love
aren't
to see
that
it.
Center.
It'd be really cool, but like, I feel like mangas have a lot more influence.
Yeah,
they
have a huge amount of influence. At the end of men's magazines in Japan and China, there's a comic. There's like a page or two of illustration.
Yeah,
like that's not.
I know. I subscribe to a lot of Korean men's magazines. So. No, but two Pete
explains why you dress like a little Korean boy.
Thank you. It's true. Check some pictures. To Pete's point, the Sideways actually did affect wine sales in a big way.
I mean, at a weird reference, it's the Top Gun of wine.
Exactly.
Like, because Top Gun sold airplanes.
Yeah, no, when Top Gun came out, enrollment in the Air Force, even though it was a Navy movie, went up 40%. So when
in your face, Alvin.
Sideways came out, Pinot Noir sales went up 40%. And
they haven't given up.
As much as they ragged on Pinot Noir, like, I think Pinot Noir sales still went up like 10%. Like
Merlot, you mean?
Merlot, sorry. Yeah.
Wait, wasn't it Pinot Noir? Wasn't that the main?
No, Pinot Noir was the one they liked, and Merlot is the one they were shitting.
Yeah.
You know, the whole irony of the whole movie is at the end when he drinks the wine out of the styrofoam cup, and he's like with the pizza, like crying and all that. That wine is like 80% Merlot.
Yeah.
But that's the giant wine nerd joke that no one gets. Like, no,
you do. Yes.
I will mention, actually, just remember this, there's a book that came out today called The Dirt Candy Cookbook. That there's a restaurant called Dirt Candy. And Ryan Dunleavy, who did the art for Action Philosophers and Comic Book Comics and Action Presidents is coming up, made it into a graphic novel with them. So it's the story of how Dirt Candy came together. They also have drawings for the recipes as well. And, you know, there's text as well for the recipes to walk you through it. But it's a great mixing of the two things.
It looks
I don't know if it'll catch on, but it's a lot of fun.
To show you how much respect there is for comics, I was just reading today, like, she got turned down by, like, 10 publishers before, like, they kept, publishers kept coming to her because the restaurant's so popular, being like, we want to do a cookbook, like, we want to publish you. And she was like, that's great, but I don't want to do a normal thing, I want to do a comic book cookbook. And they're like, yeah, I don't know about that. And, like, she said, they literally just kept saying that until someone finally was like, all right, yeah, let's give it a try. But, like,
I feel like it's rare to find someone who has comic books and cookbooks on the same shelf. Right? You?
Yep.
Yeah. No, you're surrounded by it right now.
I mean, you guys each own at least a cookbook, right? Yeah.
Nope.
The internet! No.
Do you guys owe the internet? I don't know what that means. Cool. By the way, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Also, I should mention, you guys, please keep track of the questions, because whoever asked your favorite question at the end is going to win a special additional prize.
Ooh.
So let's get the next question, please.
All right. Next question. This question starts off with a statement, just by the way.
Interesting.
We'll take it.
Creator-owned rights are clearly the future of the industry. What are your thoughts on how the greats' rights are viewed in the public eye versus their own opinions and their contract status at the time?
Greats.
You're our resident lawyer.
Yep, that's true.
So can you talk about this from a legal perspective?
How did you get that title, Justin? You're in court a lot?
Yeah,
you were being arrested a lot. Excuse me, you're going to top this off?
Sorry to interrupt all this bullshit. You know what? I'll take some.
All right.
Now that we're talking. Yep. I know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. Look at that.
Come on, keep it coming.
Thank you, Stacey.
This wine is fantastic.
For those of you listening at home, people in the audience just start pouring it on their heads.
Yeah. It's total bacchanalia here, guys.
Wait, so could you repeat the question?
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure
what the idea is.
No, the question, I think, if I could, just sum it up.
Paraphrase.
About just creator-owned rights, you know, versus in the public eye versus, like, the creators' opinions and
of themselves.
And the I'm guessing this is mostly about Watchmen and before Watchmen. And
are the creators' actual rights equal to their estimation of them?
I mean, I didn't ask it, so.
Is that who asked that? Just raise your hand.
Is it more about like Robert Kirkman?
No, it's actually going farther back, more about Kirby specifically said that
Oh, interesting. To repeat that, Jack Kirby said, I don't want to fight for this stuff in courts, but the public, there's always a big outcry. Like, he created all these characters, give him credit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, if he's not too worried about it. Like, right. I feel like he came up under a system that, you know, only retroactively everyone's like, hey, that's fucked up. At the time, comic books held on the longest. The movie studios were also sort of run the same way as well, where anything created in the movie studio system for a long time was owned by the studios. And then eventually, like, movies, like, screenwriters and directors and stuff were like, you know what, I'd actually like to own a little bit more of this. And so it eventually rights go to the writer and the director and people like that. But comic books have, for some reason, still held on to this sort of studio system, and where anything you do for the company, they own pretty much forever. Except for now, there's a lot of a surge in creator-owned sort of power based on sort of Robert Kirkman's success with Walking Dead.
Yeah, and others, I think. But
he's sort of the most successful.
The big thing to take away from it, I think, is, I mean, this isn't exactly true and it's not exactly possible, but it kind of should be up to whatever you're comfortable with. I mean, if Jack Kirby is like, I don't care, you don't really need to push Jack Kirby. On the other hand, if somebody does feel more strongly about it, they should push more strongly for it. And everybody at this point has the option of creating their own work and pushing their own work in any way they want to.
I think the stuff that gets real, you know, upsetting is when a comic book creator is poor, like an older guy who spent his life creating comics that we all, like, read and love, and the companies are still making money on them, and they don't have any money in their old age. It's just like, geez, give these guys a chance to, you know, you're making money on them, even though contractually you don't have to pay them. But to talk the law side of it, they're not, not to, this is like a lecture, but they can't set a precedent where they start paying one guy and then they have to pay everybody who wants a claim on the character. So it's just a sort of a fucked up situation.
There you go.
That's Justin's legal corner. Let's continue drinking.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right. This is another pretty serious question.
Jeez,
good.
Guys.
Lock and load, kid.
Well, it's a classy show, right? Classy questions.
Fuck yeah.
What is love and life?
Whoa.
What is the box? The costumes of superheroines and their voluptuous dimensions provoke some charges of exploitation and fetishizing. Are female superheroes demeaning to feminism, or is overt sexuality and sensuality a necessary distracting element to crime fighting?
That's a great question.
Well done.
Guess what? Your question is great, so you win.
Doesn't matter.
We don't need to answer it, so...
We'll go to Justin's legal corner.
No, I don't know. You don't know. Justin's feminine
body
corner.
Can I just sum up? So, boobs...
Yeah.
Thank you, Boots.
Great.
Thank you.
I feel like I can talk a little bit about this, and that we don't have the label here, but with the label heroin... when I was working with Tom on the original character design, there was tons of discussion about this. Like, everyone hears wine, and if you work in wine, like, or if you don't work in wine, you're like, oh, we're going to put grapes on it, or things like that. And if you work in wine, you're like, yeah, that's really fucking cheesy. Like, I don't really want to, like, a hero flying around with grapes on her chest. Like,
Hold on. Let's break this down.
There was this kind of struggle of, like this fine line of, like, you know, a powerful female character, but I think there's also a line of, like, sexuality that's supposed to be, like, imposed, or there's supposed to, like, a powerful female character often has sexuality as well. Like, and it was something that we at least angsted over as a commercial product, as something that was going to go out and be consumed. Like, I mean, I'm sure if Oreos decided to put, like, a female hero on her, like, the cookie packaging, like,
the
there would be a
Oreo.
Lot of discussion.
Yeah. No.
Sexy Oreo.
Let's just spitball.
Don't hurt the cause.
Yeah, no, I was picturing a sexy Oreo.
Like a sexily shaped Oreo.
Yeah.
No.
Oreos are
that's the sexiest
shaped.
Shape I can think of.
Yeah.
An Oreo.
Interesting.
That's
you mean
my
just
wife
the regular
like.
Oreo?
Yeah, just a regular Oreo.
Wow, that's weird.
Alex has a fetishizing.
Two cookies with cream in the middle. All right. You know what I mean?
We just ruined that whole question statement.
I'm totally switching to Hydrox now based on your...
That's the original, so you should.
Yo, cool it.
Sorry. Great.
Cool it. Boothman Hydrox.
I don't know. I think it depends on the artist's depiction more than anything. I mean, some people over-sexualize everything all the time. Some people don't. I think, again, it comes down to a matter of personal taste and how you're approaching it.
Didn't Stan Lee do Stripperella?
Yeah.
Right? Yep.
Oh, yes.
I don't think...
If you're
not
talking about Stan Lee, he's a misogynist.
Yeah, that was like the most awesomest, like, male chauvinist cartoon I've ever seen.
If,
like,
if you translate Excelsior, it means titties. I don't know if you guys know that. That's a trade secret. Well, to the point of, like, if you're robbing a bank and a female superhero shows up, I think you would stop in your tracks and be like, well, look at that.
I'm sorry. Are you a 1950s security guard?
Yeah.
What was the?
As
well,
always,
what the hell? Ooga. What are you?
No, that was part of the question, if you remember. Yeah. I think it comes out. A lot of these characters were designed in a time when it was like, let's put less clothes on that girl and sell more comics. But like the characters now have much more character than they used to. So I think that that's where it goes. That's where you can sort of
into
make
the characters
less just like blank. Characters that you're just looking at their form, their body. And instead, with the character, as they develop the characters more in the more modern
comics. So you'd like more characters that are just like clouds with personalities.
No.
Great personality.
Or like a really nice round girl with like some cream in the middle, you know, and two cookies.
You know, I know you're trying to compare and the Oreo thing again. It still sounds gross.
Yeah?
Yeah, like really gross.
All right, okay. All right. We'll see what happens.
All right.
We'll see
what happens? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by we'll see what
we'll
happens?
We'll see who's going on with that Oreo in the audience tonight.
Nice. Yep.
Cool. Wow. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next
question.
Well
done, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Is Bendis' run on X-Men going to be as disruptive / exciting as what he did with the Avengers? And will he usurp Claremont as the name we associate with the franchise?
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
For those of you who don't know, Brian Bendis has been writing Avengers for pretty much the past
decade.
It's
Brian Michael Bendis, please.
Sorry. Brian Michael Bendis.
Wow.
He's writing his assistant, so.
Yeah.
You're doing a terrible job. He's been writing Avengers for the past decade. He's moving over to writing X-Men. He's writing a title called All New X-Men that brings the original X-Men into the current day, and they're all like, what's going on?
And
everything's
like,
crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's basically the plotline. Steve, I'm curious, as somebody X of the X office, what do you think about Brian Bendis coming up on X-Men?
I mean, he's a hell of a writer. I'm sure he'll figure out how to make it great. Sounds a little suspect, but I'm sure he'll kill it. I mean, what he's done through Powers, what he did on Daredevil, what he did on Spider, like, he's part of a small group of people who does untouchable work. I think he'll make it work. I hope.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
I hope.
We can only hope.
But I believe he'll do it. I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's time. I'm ready for a shakeup over in the X universe in general. I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Like
it's been a lot of crazy shit going on, man.
Yeah, but I feel like it's been sort of the same idea. Like Cyclops is a dick. Wolverine's doing the right thing. Like I think I would like to see sort of a reinvigoration, a change up of those.
Yeah,
characters.
It's been a whole year since they changed it up the last time.
but the characters have been edging in that direction for a long time.
Sure.
I really hope they just kill Cyclops off so we stop with this reign of douchebaggery.
This reign?
You know, Cyclops.
They're actually, the next storyline is called Reign of Douchebaggery.
Damn it!
Sorry.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's just all Cyclops.
Yeah. Damn it.
All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Is that it for the...
That is it.
Okay, do we have any more questions? One more? Let's get it.
What do you think the conversation that ended with... So let's get Ben Affleck to direct Justice League was like. Hey, he's a good director of Boston-esque movies. So
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to set Justice League in Boston.
Southie.
Yeah. Southie. Do you want to do your Boston accent a little bit?
I tired that out when I was in Boston, if I remember.
Yes.
Yes is the short of that. I don't know. I mean, if someone was drinking this wine, I would think anything's a great idea at this point.
Yeah, great point. What do you think?
Are we selling your wine, or are people returning it?
Wait, was that a real question?
No.
No, it was not.
That is something I ask every single time I do this show.
Which is every week.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Well, it's if you end on Ben Affleck, I don't know how many names are on the list, I guess. Or was it like, hey, let's do something
crazy. Ben Affleck
crazy.
Is the list, all right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't see, I guess, any of his movies.
Yeah.
The Town.
You've seen Good Will Hunting.
Never seen The Town?
They're good movies.
Haven't seen The Town, no.
It's a good movie, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Gone Baby Gone.
I hear it's a good movie.
Good, yeah.
I don't know.
Reindeer Games, great movie.
No, see, I think you're fudging a lot of movies he's been in.
Sure. Chasing Amy, good movie.
Yeah, he definitely
Jersey
directed
Girl.
That.
Great movie.
Oh, all right, come on.
Do the next one.
George
Geely, was he in Geely?
Yeah, yes,
yeah,
he was.
Great movie.
No.
Known as the
Stop
worst.
Saying... Never made a bad movie. Ever.
Daredevil,
great movie.
You just said
Daredevil's,
that out loud.
Daredevil's the last one. Every morning I wait out here for you to come in the car, and then so every day I just hope that you're not going to come out.
What?
I was like,
Daredevil,
what?
Right?
No, it's Good Will Hunting with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
No, Daredevil is, we're jumping on seesaws!
I forgot about that.
You forgot about the...
I blocked it out of my memory.
Yeah, there's a whole scene in Daredevil where they're just jumping back and forth on seesaws for like 10 solid
like
minutes.
14 years. I was like prime demographic when that movie came out, and it was still awful.
Yeah. Bad movie.
I stopped putting mustard in my coffee after that movie.
Wow. That's the deepest reference that's been made on this show perhaps ever.
Oh, my God. All right.
I mean...
Because he's foggy.
Yeah, he is foggy. Exactly. Nailed it. I mean, people were really worried about Joss Whedon directing the Avengers, so maybe he'll
yeah,
hit it
maybe,
out of the park.
Yeah, were people?
Wait, who?
Many people were.
Who?
Yeah,
everyone. Do you remember?
No, nobody was.
Name all these people.
Your mind has been clouded. Before the movie came out, all everyone talked about was like, is he going to blow it?
Yeah,
is he going to blow it?
Yeah, that was the main point of conversation about the Avengers is it going to blow?
A lot of a lot of people were like, "Is it gonna?"
Was
like,
your mind erased?
Yep. Most people who saw Serenity, unless they were Firefly fans, were Firefly fan. Oh God, I am.
I love this wine.
Firefly fans.
This wine is awesome.
Were, like they didn't like it. They were like really worried for Avengers because of Serenity.
Didn't like Serenity?
Serenity. Yeah, it wasn't a
what?
Successful
Alex, your
movie.
Face is like, people how is love that Serenity. Possible?
Yeah, what? You need to get out of the nerd zone, man.
Absolutely.
Talk to some regular people. Get off your pedestal.
Look, I'm going to go home, get under the covers with my Oreo. We'll chat about the show. We'll see what happens.
Watch Dollhouse.
Enough of your all this talk of cookie fucking is getting out of hand.
Who said anything about fucking?
Oh, great. Even weirder.
Wait, what?
Yeah, our relationship is going downhill. All right, guys, for the best question, we have a prize pack that's been offered by... There's a new movie called Hit and Run that's coming out Wednesday. It's actually written and directed and starring Dax Shepard. And Kristen Bell's in it.
Play cool, guys.
Dax Shepard, this is going to get real stupid. You guys are totally not going to believe me. But if you watch Parenthood, which is actually really good, he's really good on that. Bradley Cooper is in it, Kristen Chenoweth and Tom Arnold. And we have a prize pack, which includes a Hit and Run beach ball, a dread wig, which is a thing that Bradley Cooper wears in it, water gun, and a t-shirt that says, "This car is tits." So...
People are like, don't
gotta say that sounds made up, but it seems to be written here.
Yeah, it's totally true. But so that's for Hit and Run. What was your favorite question? For both of you guys.
Yeah, you have to pick together.
Oh, right. Say it at the same time.
I'm inclined for the feminine hero.
Yeah, who has the feminine hero?
I mean, any question? Any?
It's only fair that they should win a T-shirt.
Oh, we don't have it here.
just kidding. We don't have it. No, you have to find Dax Shepard, and he'll give this to you. Tear the T-shirt off his back.
He's just around the corner. It's not like he's.
For those of you listening at home, we have another prize pack for you guys. If you're listening at home, first person to email the correct answer. I'm trying to think very quickly of...
Don't any of you do it.
Yeah, don't you guys do it. But trivia question for you guys. There is a video of Kristen Bell. She loves some animal. Dax Shepard got it for her birthday. There's a video online. First person who correctly identifies that animal over email, send it to comicbookclublive@gmail.com, and you're going to get another prize pack from Hit and Run.
Yeah. Cool.
So there you go. One other thing to mention before we move on to the next section. This is not really a prize, but all of you guys can do this. Everybody at home can do this as well. There's a website called Curicon, C-U-R-I-C-O-N. That's like a social network for stuff that you own and that is geeky. You basically create a bookshelf online and you show it off to people. It's cute, and the guys and girls who own it are great. They're super friendly. They are raffling off an all-expense-paid trip to New York Comic Con, which I know is not exciting to people here in the audience.
That's cab fare to the Javits Center.
That's how we do.
Those of you listening at home, though, you're going to get airfare, you're going to get hotel stay, and you're going to get a four-day pass. When you sign up for Curicon, if you give them the code ComicBookLive, you will get 10 entries, not just one. Comic Book Live.
All right.
We lost the club.
Yeah. Well, I'm not interested in the club part.
Okay. All right.
Just the comic books and the live part. That's pretty much it. So go do that. And now we're going to move on with our next section, which I like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right. We got just one thing to talk to you guys about in the Week in Geek today. This is kind of big news. The new rumor for the Guardians of the Galaxy movie is that director James Gunn is going to be taking on. You guys might know him from he did The Specials and Super and Slither and other things that start with S. So it's a little weird that he's going to do Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess.
Nice.
But what do you guys think? Do you want to see James Gunn directing Guardians of the Galaxy? Any thoughts on that?
All right.
Yeah.
No thoughts
whatsoever.
I'm vaguely familiar with the Guardians of the Galaxy enough to know that it has the potential to be a really awesome movie. I have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Hooray.
Yeah. I agree with him on that. Just don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up, Gunn.
Wow. There you go. Nice. I don't know.
A lot of potential in that movie, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, there's a raccoon in it.
Those are all very small sort of movies. Guardians of the Galaxy looks like it's going to be a very big movie, also leading into Avengers 2.
Right.
So
I think if anything, I mean, I know I was a little ridiculous about your Joss Whedon point, but if anything, this is more applicable. Taking somebody like Jon Favreau and putting him on Iron Man, or taking somebody like Joss Whedon and putting him on the Avengers, this feels like a similar move to me. Somebody that has been reliable for fans of genre fare and sci-fi and fantasy and horror stuff, taking him, giving him a chance to do something big, I think is a really cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But it's such a great point, Alex. Really good stuff. Listen, it's just the way this movie is being couched and the way I've imagined
couched?
It. Yeah. Like
it takes
spear.
Place on a couch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Oh, good, yeah.
It's kind of like our show, but with a raccoon. Oh, wait, I forgot you were a raccoon.
Pete, I'm going to email you a lexicon of all the terms you don't understand. That we
okay, sure,
show.
Sure.
Okay, great.
That's going to be a long email.
I know. I feel like Guardians of the Galaxy is really going to be the setup movie. It takes place in space. If Thanos is the villain of Avengers 2, that's a lot of space. So I think this movie has to really establish space for the Avengers.
Yeah, what is space?
Yeah. Where does it start? Where does it end? How do you do that?
Science has barely answered that question. What is James Gunn going to say?
Yeah. It's just going to be 2 hours of him explaining space.
Oh, that's a long lecture.
Yeah, they should call it space. Then it would have an S. All right, guys, we're going to move on with the next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePay.
All right.
Yeah.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Yes, you. You. Yes, come on. Come on up. She got lost. Bring it up.
Bring
okay,
it up.
Here we go. Take that microphone from Mr. Zalbin. What is your name?
Nicole.
Nicole, audience. Audience, Nicole. Okay. Nicole, today's trivia is on iconic wine.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Which right. is fantastic. And yes. I'm mostly Agreed. Saying that because I'm drunk. Okay.
Totally cool.
Okay. Who? Here we go. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you the question. You listen to all three possible answers. Mm-hmm. Go 3 for 3. Gift card is yours. All right. Here we go. Question number one. Thank you, Boothman. Who did not help with the art of iconic wine? Is it A, Sarah Nu? I've killed her name. I don't know, too drunk. All right. Or is it B, Cliff Chang? Or is it C, MODOK?
Go. Did not help?
Yeah, did not help.
Keep in mind, who's a real person, who's fiction?
The third guy.
Yeah, MODOK is correct. Okay, here we go. Question number two.
Ready.
Where did the brainchild that is iconic wine happen? Is it A, college, B, high school, or C, an evil laboratory? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B.
Okay, college.
College is correct. Here we go. Last question.
Like
don't get cocky. Let's focus
I
up.
Promise.
All right. Here we go. The wine opener for iconic wine is in the shape of, is it A, a thought balloon, B, a thunderbolt, or C, a wine opener? So it's either A.
C.
Or it's B.
Or it's
B.
C.
I would go with B.
Or it's C.
A thunderbolt. No, it has nothing to do with it. It's a thunderbolt, which is cool because it's iconic wine. Sure, it opens wine, but it's not in the shape of a wine opener.
Oh,
it's cool.
Pete, I think you happen to answer that question yourself.
Thank you.
$25 free. Don't talk to people when you're drunk is what I learned right there.
Awesome. Wow, that got real loud. Oh, hello. No problem. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
We all know that.
You go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Scalp number 60.
I am looking forward to that.
No, I am.
No, that's where I am.
Huh? No, that's what I'm picking.
Nope, I'm Scott.
It's the last issue. So
I know. It's
what
I'm
picking.
Gonna be sad.
So it's going to be sad.
I'll punch you in the face right now.
I'll punch you in the face
I'll
right
fucking punch you in the face. I'm looking forward to
this. No, I'm looking forward to it.
No, I am.
Okay. Kiss or something.
What are you looking forward to, Justin?
I'm looking forward to Unwritten number 40.
Yeah.
Perhaps you are as well. Man, this comic has been killing it. It's the last couple issues have been the beginning of a brand new arc that totally is in a totally different direction. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to from IDW Comics Rocketeer Cargo of Doom number one is coming out. Yeah,
also a great book.
Written by Mark Waid, drawn by Chris Samnee, who's the team regularly on Daredevil, and it's great old timey fun. I cannot wait. The Rocketeer series, great throwback stuff. Perfect team to have it on it, so it should be really cool. What are you looking forward to, Burke?
I was looking for it. I think it's coming out this week. It might have come out this week. It might be next week. But the whole Everybody Loves Tank Girl. I've been... And I'm actually looking forward to actually being able to buy the first one because it seems to be sold out everywhere I go. But I'd love to... If I got an insider track on Midtown Comics, maybe I can get them to say
nice.
Cool. Yeah. And plug your stuff. Where should people check out your wine again? And what else should they be looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a few things. I guess, the easiest place is Union Square because it's also, like, you know, center of the city.
For you guys here.
Our website. And then keep in touch. If you guys want to sign up on our email, we have another program coming out. A good friend of mine runs a company called Mouton Noir, who's another big famous Somme. Yeah, see? People know him.
Oh, Andre.
Yeah. Andre.
Andre Mack, the guy's man. But
you're talking about
Andre,
the almost cheapest sparkling wine you can get,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was Andre 3000.
No, no. Oh, good but, guess. That's right where your head goes because you're strapped in the 90s, I guess?
Yep. Is that? Yeah. Okay,
he's still fucking relevant.
Pete or Andre 3000?
Both.
Nah, Pete's not. You lose.
But you guys will hear about it coming up. But Andre's a genius. He found do you remember those old Super Soakers from the 50s?
Hell yeah.
Or not 50s, but like...
The 50s? What Super Soakers were you using?
You had a Super Soaker 50, yeah. Right? It was that one of the greens.
Well, the 50, the 100, and then totally. The 200.
So it turns out that fits a screw top wine bottle perfectly.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So we're going to throw a... somewhere in Brooklyn, we're still trying to find on the location. That's the only reason it's not...
My house. But...
We're going to have a Guns N' Roses party and blast classic rock and serve rosé.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I want to be there.
Do you need any sort of people like us there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you need any sort of people to drink your wine?
Yeah. Obnoxious people to yell and stuff?
So if you guys are in the head, sign up. Keep an eye on our Facebook. But in the next few weeks, we'll announce the final location for that.
Guns N' Roses. That's amazing.
Cool. That's awesome. And Steve, what are you looking forward to?
New Iron Man, Invincible Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Great book.
End of Matt Fraction's run. It's killer. It's beautiful stuff. Yeah. And then Fables 120 because it's the best comic coming out every month.
Yeah. Nice.
And
opinions.
Do you have any plugs? What should people check out?
Come to Tribeca, drink some great old CDP, and just drinking wine and keep supporting people like Burke who are doing something fun and different.
So you guys know CDP is Chateauneuf du Pape, which is also something you won't know unless it is sung about in a Beastie Boys song, though.
Yeah. So you guys get it now, right? Yeah, good.
Cool. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, artist J.K. Woodward is going to be here. He's drawing the current Star Trek The Next Generation Doctor Who crossover for IDW, so that should be a lot of fun for you, Justin.
A lot of Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah, that's like 50% of your wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly. My wheelhouse. It's full of Doctor Who.
Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, check out our website, comicbookclublive.com, and also Nerdist.com for the audio podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Burke for being on the show. First of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at Fontana's in New York. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you guys.